البيان راديو presents the following lesson from مسجد الأزهر بأمه.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام والأخوات الكريمات، أهلا وسهلا بكم في روضة من رياض الجنة. هذه المجالس يحبها الله عز وجل، فمن يعني أحب أن يرتع في رياض الجنة، هذه هي المجالس التي يذكر فيها الله عز وجل ويعظم فيها الله ويقرأ فيها بكلام الله عز وجل ويعظم فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. على كل حال، يعني أنا لن أطيل عليكم، لأن يعني أمامكم من المشايخ الكرام من هو أفصح مني لسانا وأعلم وأخبر مني بكم، ولكن ابتلينا وهذا مما ابتلانا الله به، فنسأل الله أن يكون بلاء حسنا لنا ولكم. لذلك أتمنى منكم أن تصبروا علي قليلا.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهدى. أما بعد، my dearly respected brothers and sisters, our beloved Sheikh Zuhair, he begins by welcoming you all tonight to this event, which the Sheikh has labeled as a garden from the gardens of paradise, because these types of gatherings, they are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the one who likes to be in a corner or a garden of paradise, should always make the effort to attend the gatherings of knowledge. And secondly, the Sheikh, he mentions that he is here tonight to give a short and a small reminder, and then he will be giving the rest of the platform to the other Sheikhs who have more knowledge of views than he does, according to what the Sheikh says.
أيضا يعني أستأذنكم، أريد أن أخرج عن النص قليلا. أيها الإخوة، ذكر أهل العلم رحمهم الله في باب الإخلاص من الأسباب التي تقوي الإخلاص، أسباب تقوي الإخلاص، من هذه الأسباب مجالسة الصالحين الطيبين، يعني أهل الإيمان، يعني بمجرد أن تراهم يذكرونك بالله، إما أن تذكرهم بالله ورؤيتهم تذكرك بالله عز وجل. ودائما أخينا الشيخ الفاضل المكرم محمد حبلس يعني يدندن حول هذه الكلمات، أنه موضوع الحب والمحبة وإلى آخره، يعني حلو التواضع يا شيخ محمد، الله يبارك فيك، حلو التواضع. نعم، يعني مرات هذا الأمل ليس لك، هذا من الله عز وجل، والمحبة من الله عز وجل ليست لك، ولا أنت التي بتختار أو تسيطر عليها أو بتعمل كنترول عليها وإلى آخره، هذا من الله عز وجل. فيعني قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم المتحابون في جلاله، يا أخوان المحبة مصافحة ومعانقة وهدايا وتزاور إلى آخره. المحبة شيء عظيم في الله عز وجل، وابتسامة بوجه أخيك. لو نحن عشنا هذه المحبة بكل أصولها وبكل فروعها والله كنا بألف خير. هذا خارج النص، هلا نعود إلى النص.
The Sheikh mentions that he wants to go a little bit off track for a second with you, and he speaks about the people of knowledge, the scholars of Islam, when they speak regarding the chapter of ikhlas, sincerity, and when they speak about things which strengthen a person's sincerity, strengthen a person's ikhlas. From those things which strengthen a person's ikhlas is sitting with the people of Iman, mixing and sitting in gatherings with the people of Iman and the people of righteousness. People who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might also be someone who reminds others of Allah azza wa jal, but when you also sit with those who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from the ways of strengthening a person's sincerity. And the Sheikh gives the example regarding our beloved brother with us here, Muhammad Hublos, that he always enjoys and he loves speaking about topics related to love and sincerity and humbleness. And he gave our brother a beautiful reminder and a nasiha also. And he mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this topic, mixing with those of deen. And the love between the Muslims and the believers, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who love each other for his sake, Allah azza wa jal loves them without a doubt. And a hadith like smiling in your brother's face is a sadaqah, and so forth.
نعود إلى عنوان هذه الأمسية، يعني رسائل رمضانية. أيها الإخوة الكرام، رمضان ليس مدرسة فحسب، بل هو جامعة. يعني هذه الجامعة فيها من الخيرات والفضل والبركات والنفحات ما لا يعلمه إلا الله. هذه الجامعة إن صحت التسمية، يعني رمضان فيه هذه الخيرات. لذلك أيها الإخوة، المحروم من الناس من حرم هذا الخير، خصوصا في رمضان. لذلك جاء في الحديث القدسي أن الصوم لي وأنا أجزي به لعظمي ومكانتي وفضل الصوم. أيضا جاء في الحديث رغم أنف امرئ دخل عليه رمضان وخرج ولم يغفل له لكثرة الخير فيه. وهذا الرجل المحروم لم يتعرض لهذه النفحات التي عمت الدنيا، ومع ذلك حرم منها هذا الإنسان. فهو يعني جامعة. لذلك أيها الإخوة، من هنا يجب يعني أن نجتهد ونجتهد كثيرا لمعرفة هذه الخيرات التي أودعها الله عز وجل في نهار رمضان وليالي رمضان.
The Sheikh says we return to our topic tonight, which is رسائل of Ramadan or messages related to Ramadan or messages of Ramadan. And the Sheikh says that Ramadan is much greater than a message. If the expression is correct, it is a complete jami'ah, a university. Ramadan is a complete university and it has many, many doors of good and benefits. It has many doors of good and benefits. And the Sheikh gives a great reminder that the one who is deprived of the goodness in Ramadan, he is the one who is indeed deprived. The one who is deprived of the goodness, of the blessings in Ramadan, is the one who is indeed deprived. And he mentions the hadith related to this topic. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah azza wa jal said in the hadith Qudsi that fasting is for me, Allah says, and I will reward for it. Fasting is for me and I will reward for it. Meaning Allah's reward is unlimited for those who fast the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say Ameen to the dua of Jibreel alayhi salam when he would make dua against the one who Ramadan enters and exits and they do not have their sins forgiven. The angel made dua against such a person and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say Ameen. This is related to the one who is deprived, prevented from worshipping Allah azza wa jal properly and correctly throughout the blessed month of Ramadan.
يعني أيها المسلم انظر إلى مكانتك عند الله عز وجل وأنت صائم حتى أن الرائحة التي تخرج منك في نهار رمضان والغالب أنها رائحة كريهة هي أطيب عند الله من المسك من ريح المسك وهذا أيضا يدل على فضل الصيام ومكانة هذا الصائم عند الله عز وجل.
The Sheikh says, you, O Muslim, my dear Muslim brother and sister, even look at yourself and look at your status with Allah Azza wa Jal when you were in a state of fasting. Look at your status with Allah, how great it is when you were fasting. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even regarding the smell that exits the person's mouth when he is fasting, even though it is a displeasant smell to the son of Adam, but with Allah Azza wa Jal, it is more beloved than the smell of musk, because it's a worship. And this shows without a doubt the virtue of fasting, and in particular fasting in the month of Ramadan.
لذلك من أراد الإكرام والتكريم فليكن عبدا لله عز وجل. فأهل العلم يعني استنبطوا من قوله تعالى اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم كن عبدا لله يكرمك الله عز وجل يرفعك الله عز وجل يعزك الله عز وجل المهم أن تكون عبدا لله وعلى مراد الله عز وجل.
The Sheikh says, whoever hopes and wishes for ikram, generosity from Allah Azza wa Jal, let him be a true servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you wish for Allah to be generous to you, you must be a sincere slave to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, read in the name of your Lord, the one who created the creation, all the way up until he says, اقرأ وربك الأكرم, recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your Lord is the most generous. This shows that when you recite, when you worship, when you do your worship to Allah, you will find Allah to be the most generous towards you.
بالنسبة أيها الإخوة لموضوع الأمسية يعني رسائل رمضانية إن شاء الله أنا أجملها بثلاثة رسائل والإخوة الكرام يعني إن شاء الله يتكلمون ويدندنون حولها بمشيئة الله تعالى. الثمرة أيها الإخوة من صيام رمضان يعني بينها الله عز وجل ألا وهي قوله تعالى لعلكم تتقون. السؤال أيها الإخوة كيف يعني كيف نصل إلى مقام التقوى؟ كيف نصل إلى منازل التقوى؟ فيجب أن نبذل جهدا وطاقة حتى نتعلم كيف نصل. ما هي السبل، الطرق التي من خلالها نصل إلى تقوى الله عز وجل، أن نكون من المتقين، أن نرتقي ونسمو في منازل المتقين. فهذا جهد عظيم لو بذله الإنسان لوصل إلى سعادة لا يعلم حقيقتها إلا من دخلها، وإذا دخلها لن يتخلى عنها، لن يتخلى عنها أبدا. ولكن هذا بحاجة منا إلى بذل جهود وبصدق وإخلاص لنصل إلى التقوى.
The Sheikh says tonight's topic, which is the messages of Ramadan or messages related to Ramadan, the Sheikh says he will sum it up from himself in three messages in particular. And the first of them is regarding the fruits of fasting. Fasting has one main fruit, and that fruit is to achieve taqwa. The benefit of fasting, the purpose of fasting is for this purpose only, for you to achieve taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something great, and we as Muslims must work very hard to reach the level of taqwa. Because once you become from that level or in that level of taqwa from the muttaqeen, once you reach that stage, it is a stage where you will find yourself in a great place. And it is so great that you will work very hard never to leave it. Never to leave that position, the position of taqwa.
هذه العناوين أيها الإخوة مجملة، ولكن هي مفاتيح. يعني لا نستطيع أن نتصور رمضان بعيدا عن هذه العناوين أبدا. هناك عنوان رابع ملازم لكل عنوان، هناك عنوان أو وسيلة أو سبب عبادة ملازمة لكل عنوان. يعني عندما الرسالة الأولى أو العنوان الأول، عندما نقول رمضان، أول ما نذكره في رمضان ما هو؟ أول ما نذكره في رمضان ما هو يا أخوان؟ سؤال لكم. الصيام. إذن ها، أول شيء الصيام، أول رسالة الصيام. الصيام ركن من أركان الإسلام، والصيام حق الله على العباد. المعنى يجب أن نجتهد ونتعلم ونتفقه حول هذه الفريضة، ركن من أركان الإسلام الصيام، فقه الصيام، أعمال الصيام، سنن الصيام. إذن هذه الرسالة الأولى الصيام.
The Sheikh says these points that he is speaking about, these are general points and what are considered to be keys. And when we mention Ramadan, the Sheikh asks a question. When you think about Ramadan, what is the first thing that comes to mind? And the answer to that, as the brothers answered, is fasting. The first thing that comes to mind when you think of Ramadan is fasting. And that's without a doubt true. And this shows the importance of this action, especially in Ramadan. And fasting is a pillar of Islam, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal's right upon his slaves. So we must, as Muslims, make a huge effort and work very hard about learning the rules of fasting, the ahkam of fasting, and the jurisprudence of fasting, so that you can make your fasting correct for Allah Azza wa Jal, since it is one of the pillars of Islam.
العنوان الثاني أيها الإخوة أبدا لا نستطيع يعني أن نبتعد عنه أو نتخلى عنه، هو شرفنا وكرامتنا وحياتنا وصلتنا بالله عز وجل. شو هو؟ قرآن. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن، وهذه لفتة أنه يجب أن نهتم بكتاب الله عز وجل في كل أيامنا وفي كل ساعاتنا وفي ليلنا ونهارنا. لا يمكن أن نعيش بعيدا عن كتاب الله، ولكن في رمضان يجب أن نهتم أكثر ونعطي من أوقاتنا لكتاب الله أكثر. هذا العنوان الثاني.
The Sheikh says the second point or message in Ramadan is one which we cannot live without and we cannot avoid. And he asked the question again, what is that? And the answer came back correctly, Alhamdulillah, and that is the Quran. Ramadan is the month of the Quran, my brothers and sisters. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran, in the translation of the meaning, the month of Ramadan, when the Quran was revealed. For the Quran was revealed in this month. So Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And we are in need of the Quran every single day of our lives. Every day of our lives. But even more in this blessed month of Ramadan.
العنوان الثالث أيها الإخوة، المسلم بشكل عام خصوصا يعني في أيام رمضان، المسلم الصائم، المسلم الذي يعني يعيش القرآن ويعيش في حياته القرآن. انتبهوا، المسلم الذي يعيش في رمضان مع القرآن وفي غير رمضان ويعيش في حياته القرآن، الناس يرون منك القرآن، أخلاق القرآن، لا يمكن. هذا العنوان الثالث، لا يمكن إلا أن يكون محسنا. إذن العنوان الثالث الإحسان أيها الإخوة. كلما ازداد المسلم عبودية لله عز وجل وكلما عرف الله ازداد جودا وكرما. هذا هو المؤمن، المؤمن كريم لأنه عرف الله عز وجل. وهكذا كان سيد ولد آدم، سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، دائما في أيامه كلها كان من أكرم الناس، ولكن كان في رمضان هذا الكرم يزداد. إذن الإحسان، الإحسان إلى نفسك، الإحسان إلى أهلك، الإحسان إلى الناس جميعا حتى إلى الحيوانات. هذا عنوان مهم يجب أن يتحلى به المسلم، الإحسان.
The Sheikh says regarding the third point, and this third point, the Muslim who lives in Ramadan with the Quran, which is what we all expect. When the month of Ramadan comes, we will be living with the Quran, and more importantly, lives by the Quran. And what this means is that the traces of the Qur'an is seen in you. You live your life according to the Qur'an. This type of person who lives by the Qur'an and he lives in the Qur'an, this person cannot ever be except a muhsin. And that's the third message, the message of ihsan, which means doing good. To be a doer of good. This is from the qualities of the people of Quran. The more he worships Allah and gets closer to Allah, the more ihsan he has, the more generosity he has, the more generous he becomes to himself. He has ihsan to himself. He has ihsan. He does good towards his family. And he does good towards the people, even towards the animals, the Sheikh says. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the most generous. He was the most generous of people. And he was most generous, as the hadith mentions, in the month of Ramadan.
العنوان الرابع كما يعني ذكرت لكم هو ملازم لكل عبادة، لكل عبادة، وهذا العنوان معنا في كل مقام نقوم فيه لله عز وجل. وهو معنى عندما نؤدي كل عبادة نتقرب بها إلى الله عز وجل. عنوان مهم أيها الإخوة، مهم جدا، أكثر مما تتصورون. اسألهم من يعلم هذا العنوان.
The Sheikh says the fourth point is one which is very important and it must be connected to every act of worship. It must be connected to every single act of worship and it is more important than you can imagine. The Sheikh asks, does anyone know what this is?
وهو من علامات العبودية.
And it is from the signs of worship. الإخلاص. ها؟ النية. يقين. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه.
الدعاء أيها الإخوة. الدعاء.
دعاء.
الدعاء هو العبادة كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. الدعاء يعني ملازم، هو في صلاتك، هو في كل مقام، في صيامك. إياك أن تبتعد عن الدعاء، هو صلتك بالله عز وجل. لذلك جاء يعني في مع آيات الصيام قوله تعالى وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان ومن لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه. فهذه علامة ودليل أن الذي يكثر السؤال ويكثر الدعاء يعني يلجأ إلى الله عز وجل، هذا دليل عبودية ودليل تواضع من هذا العبد، ودليل أنه عرف نفسه أنه فقير لا يملك من الأمر شيئا، فقير لا يملك شيئا، هذا معنى لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. هذه عناوين أربعة، يعني أسأل الله عز وجل يعني أن تجتهدوا في معرفتها والقيام بها في رمضان وفي غير رمضان. وأعتذر من الإخوة الأفاضل ومنكم جميعا عن هذه الإطالة.
The Sheikh mentions his fourth and final point, and this point is something which is connected to every act of worship, as we mentioned, and it is more important than what you can imagine, and that is the dua, especially in the month of Ramadan. Dua, as the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, it is the worship. الدعاء هو العبادة. Dua is the worship. So it is something that the Muslim must never avoid. And that is your connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Your direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, if my servants ask you about me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them I am close. Inform them I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ I answer the call of the one who calls when he calls me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or as it was mentioned in the hadith, that Allah azza wa jal becomes angry from the one who does not ask him. So you as a Muslim must always be in a state of making dua to Allah, because this shows your weakness and your need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of that word, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. Jazakallahu khairan. We thank our beloved Sheikh, the Imam of our Masjid, Sheikh Zuhair Isa. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward him and protect him. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, we will pass the microphone on to our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Khalid Muhammad. Falyatafaddal.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحان الله. My brothers, يعني where do we begin? Firstly, بارك الله فيكم for being here tonight with us on this beautiful night, this blessed night. Secondly, my brothers, today during the khutbah I asked a very important question, and that question pretty much was, compared to last Ramadan, just move over a little bit, فضل. Make a bit of room. I asked, subhanAllah, يعني how, you know, this will probably be, wallahu a'lam, for many, possibly the last talk you guys hear before Ramadan, in one of the night talks. If Allah Azza wa Jal wills and gives us the life and health to make it to this upcoming Ramadan. My brother, subhanAllah, 2023, يعني we're entering inshaAllah ta'ala into a new Ramadan. Many of us from last Ramadan, we had goals, we had objectives, we wanted to achieve things. And the question which each and every one of us need to ask ourselves is, did we achieve the goals? Did we achieve that which we told ourselves we will achieve? You know, so many times we say in Ramadan especially, and we've heard it from many brothers, as I'm sure everyone here has heard it themselves, next me, I'm going to do this. Next year, I'm going to do that. I don't know how to read Quran, but next year, inshallah, I'm going to read the Quran, etc. But so many individuals, they don't even get to that, nor do they achieve that which they wanted to achieve. This is why the Salaf, they would say, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّسْوِيفِ. Be careful of saying, I'm going to, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Yani, when is the time, my brothers? When is the time? When is the time for you to learn how to read Quran? When is the time for you to seek knowledge? When is the time for you to go overseas if you're able to and study? When is the time for you to do any of these actions and more than that? Instead, so many of us have become deceived by shaitan, by that which is called at-taswif. Sawfa af'alu wa sa'af'alu. So many of us have become deceived by that statement, I'm going to. As if that's actually doing something. You saying, I'm going to, when are you going to? When? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When are you going to? So many of us, we know the virtues and we've heard the virtues, especially over the past few weeks, I'm sure, of Ramadan. But I wanted to give you one narration that some may not have heard. A beautiful narration narrated by a companion by the name of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that I saw two men. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They became Muslim. One of them used to outdo the other one in regards to his acts of worship. So much so that this one specifically individual out of the two, he went on to become a martyr for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was killed on the battlefield. And every single individual knows the status of a martyr in Islam. And subhanAllah, Talha, after saying that, the second individual lived one more year and then he died. Just one more year. And then he died. So then he says, I saw in a dream that we were standing at the gates of Jannah, the gates of paradise. Someone came out and he took the one that was not martyred, the one that lived that extra one year, the one that was not killed for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he was made to enter Jannah. And then that same individual that came and took that person, he came back out. And he took the one that was martyred out of the two, and he told him, enter into Jannah. And then he came back out and he told Talha, go back, for your time has not come yet. Now Talha, he begins to say to the other companions, telling the story, telling the dream. So then when news reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Talha and those around, min ayyi dhalika ta'jabun. Yani, what are you surprised about? What are you astonished? What are you shocked about? They said, ya Rasulullah, kana hadha, that this individual, كَانَ هَذَا أَشَدَّ الرَّجُلَيْنِ اجْتِهَادًا. This person that was martyred, he was more, he done more, he used to strive more in worship than the other one. ثُمَّ اسْتُشْهِد. And then he was martyred for the sake of Allah. Yani, this isn't something small. It's a big deed. So he used to do more than the second person that lived one more year. And then he was martyred. وَدَخَلَ هَذَا الْآخِرُ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَهُ. And then this other one, he entered Jannah after or before him. Yani, subhanAllah, how? Like, the companions, they were so shocked. Like, how can someone, subhanAllah, that wasn't martyred, he lived only one more year, and he done less than the other one that was martyred, but he entered Jannah before the one that was martyred? So the Prophet sallallahu, he says, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ مَكَثَ هَذَا سَنَةً بَعْدَ. Didn't this one live one more year? And then look at, out of all the deeds he could have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of all the deeds, he says, فَأَدْرَكَ رَمَضَان فَصَمْ. The first thing he said, he made it to one more Ramadan and he fasted. And then after that he says, وَصَلَّ كَذَا وَكَذَا مِنْ سَجْجَةٍ فِي السَّنَةِ. Then after that he says, and then he prayed so many prayers pretty much in the year. Yani, he got one more year. And the first thing he says, he got one more Ramadan. One more Ramadan. This concept of Ramadan, my brothers, is not small. As the Sheikh called it so beautifully, it's a university. What do you do in university? Wallahi, whoever's been knows whether before you even enter, give it 4 years, 3 years, 6 years, whatever your degrees are. Can you compare yourself to before you enter university to after you finish university? You can't. Yet so many people, they enter Ramadan and days go by and days go by and days go by, and then they see the end of Ramadan, but Allahul Musta'an, they come out of Ramadan with no change, the same as they entered. Or even worse, they come out of Ramadan worse than they entered. Worse than they entered. Yani, as I said, my brothers, when is the time to make this change? If the time isn't now, when will it ever be? If it's not in Ramadan and the days of Ramadan and these blessed days that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be so happy when they would come and he would give others glad tidings of that, where he would say, شهر رمضان وأتاكم رمضان شهر مبارك. Ramadan has come, a blessed month, Allahu Akbar. A month which Allah Azza wa Jal blesses the slaves more than ever, is merciful to the slaves more than ever, releases more slaves and saves them from the fire more than ever. If you're not going to change in this month, when are you going to change? فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ غُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَسُلْسِلَتْ, and in one narration, وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The gates of Jannah, all of them, eight gates of paradise, they're wide open, my brothers. Not one is shut, not one is closed. And the gates of the fire, they are shut, closed. Not one is open, the seven gates, not one is open. And the devils, they're chained. When are you gonna change if you're not gonna change now? When is the time? And the Sheikh, when he mentions about the Quran as well, wallahi, yani, there's so much to talk about, so little time. The Quran, my brothers, is everything and should be everything to you. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he delegated an individual by the name of Nafi' ibn Abd al-Harith as a leader over one of the areas in Mecca. Then when they went to go to Hajj, they met in a place called Usfan, about 80 kilometers north of Mecca. Then Umar asked him, who did you delegate? Who did you put in your position now that you're coming to Hajj? You're out of the area, etc. He said, I put an individual by the known as Ibn Abza. His name was Abdul Rahman Ibn Abza. So the Prophet, or Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to him, yani, who is Ibn Abza? Waman Ibn Abza? Who is that? Waman Ibn Abza? He says he is mawla min mawalina. He's a freed slave from our freed slaves. Now, subhanAllah, back then especially was a shocker, yani, as we say, like you put a freed slave over, especially an area like Mecca, like, yani, this is from the fiqh of Umar. He said, you put a freed slave over them? Like, not to degrade him, a'udhu billah. We know, brothers, that a slave, a freed slave, as what, yani, in our slang terms, someone who cleans toilets all day, a janara, for example, wallahi, could be so much better than someone earning in the millions and more than that. It's not about what you do for work as long as it's halal. It's not about how much you earn as long as it's halal. It's not to degrade this individual, Ibn Abza. But Umar, he said that from his fiqh. Yani, generally speaking, you do not place a freed slave that is looked at in the community as of that status over people like the people of Mecca. Why? Because when he would command them, they might have a mentality like, oh, but he's a freed slave, we're not going to listen. They won't take him seriously or something like this. So he was astonished. But look at the beautiful answer of Nafi'. He says pretty much, O Umar, إِنَّهُ قَارِئٌ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَعَالِمٌ بِالْفَرَائِضِ. He says he is someone who reads the book of Allah, and this word reads, yani, he's memorized, or he memorizes, and most importantly, my brothers, more important than any of that, he acts upon it. So he's someone who reads the book of Allah and he's knowledgeable in inheritance and he's a good judge. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu remembered something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he said. And this is something that you brothers and ourselves, we need to take with us wherever we go for the rest of our lives. If you want victory, if you want success, if you want all goodness, wallahi upon you is the Quran. He says, "Ama inna nabiyyakum qad qal." Indeed, your prophet, he said. So now Umar, he remembers that inna Allah yarfa'u bihadha al-kitabi aqwama. That indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal, he will raise, he will honor through this book, meaning the Quran, individuals. He will honor them and he will raise them. وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ And he will debase others through it. He will debase others through it. The Quran, as I said, should be your life. Live with it. Let it show on you. Memorize it, read it, act upon it, understand it. So many of us, and yani, I'd hate to ask the question, and wallahi, this is not to put anyone down. Yani, wallahi, if I did not love everybody sitting here today, I would not ask this or say this, yani. But imagine we were to ask ourselves now, who amongst us here knows how to read the Quran or knows how to read it fluently? Yani, it's not a question, I'm not asking brothers. I'm saying, put this question to yourself. Some of us sitting here today, and others may break our backs, for one day of work for $200, for $250, we'll break our backs. But ask someone to break their back, yani, to put time and effort and exert everything they have to learn the book of Allah for a few months, and they won't do that. But for $200 or $250 a day, they will break their back and work like a slave. Subhanallah. Upsetting, yani. The Quran in the Ramadan, the Salaf were on another level. As the Sheikh said, generally they would read the Quran, be with the Quran, live with the Quran, etc. But in Ramadan, they were on another level. So much so that the mashayikh, some of them have said, لَوْلَا الْأَسَانِيدْ لَمَا سُدِّقَدْ هَذِهِ الْأَخْبَارِ That if it wasn't for the chain of narration, yani we are an ummah of chain. If it wasn't for the chain of narration, some of the things that came from the Salaf, you wouldn't even believe it. You could not yani fathom some of the things that they used to do. Yani, this is why upon us is the Quran, and especially in the month of Ramadan. Sufyan al-Thawri, it's mentioned, Hajar al-Majalis. He used to do hijrah away, abandon the gatherings. Why? For the Quran, to spend time with it. Hajar al-Majalis, Imam Malik, he would stop teaching. Az-Zuhri, he would say, Innama Ramadan, or Ramadan, Innama huwa it'amu al-ta'am wa qira'atu al-Quran. Ramadan, what is it? Feeding the poor and reading Quran. The Quran guides you to that which is most upright in everything. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Indeed, this Quran, Allah says, it guides to that which is most upright. Most upright in what, my brothers? Allah did not say. When Allah does not say what specifically, it means in everything. Everything. Subhanallah. Yani wallahi, if it's how to treat your wife, if it's how to treat your husband, how to treat in family relations, how to do business, how to do this, how to do that, and not just in the dunya but the akhirah, or not just in the akhirah but the dunya too. The Quran guides to everything which is upright. So don't be like those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will come on the day of resurrection, where Allah azza wa jal will tell us what he says, that my nation, they done hijrah away of this Quran. They done hijrah away from this Quran. Do you want to be from those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he comes on the day of resurrection and he says, oh my Lord, my nation, my people, they done hijrah away from the Quran. They abandoned it. Abandon how? The ulama, they said in many ways, by reading it, by memorizing it, by understanding it, but most importantly, my brothers, by acting upon it. And just a few more minutes, inshallah, brothers. I don't want to go too long. I just want to read you just one statement so you guys can leave off, inshallah, taking something from my end, yani, that Sheikh Salih, he mentions in a book of his narrator called 70 Matters Related to Fasting. My brothers, as we said, Ramadan is a month like no other. So you treat it like a month like no other. He says, amongst the things that can destroy one's hasanat, good deeds, and bring about the sayyi'at, the bad deeds, is allowing oneself to be distracted. Now, my brothers, these are things that every single one of us should stay away from in Ramadan, let alone outside of Ramadan. Or they should stay away from outside of Ramadan, let alone in Ramadan. So many brothers, yani,
like Allahu Akbar, wallahi it's upsetting to say, but they ruin their fasting, meaning they decrease their reward and possibly null it or classify it as void the reward by doing things at nights and sometimes even in the days that just should not be done, brothers. Just stay away from these things. Look what he says. Amongst the things that can destroy the good deeds and bring about the bad deeds is allowing oneself to be distracted by quiz shows, soap operas, movies, sports matches, idol gatherings, hanging about in the streets with evil people and time wasters. Yani, just that one little three lines, yani, that needs a whole lesson. Wallahi. Our brothers, how many of them, to the extent Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, hafidhahullah, he mentions, that could it be an agenda from the kafar and from some layman individuals that they release certain shows, certain series, musalsalat and the likes in Ramadan to distract the Muslims from the ultimate objective, the ultimate goal of fasting? How many of us, we spend our days and nights in Ramadan doing these things, movies? And wallah, brothers, get rid of the TV just for these 29, 30 days. Get rid of it. One of my teachers used to swap his smartphone for a brick phone in Ramadan. Yani, because they understand the importance, brothers. And they understand, and not just understand, they don't try to beat around the bush. They accept it and they know how much time we spend on our phones and what we do on our phones. Don't lie to yourselves, yani. Just be honest with yourselves, subhanallah. So he says soap operas, all of these things. Get rid of these things from your life, especially in Ramadan. And then he says hanging about in the streets with evil people and time wasters, driving around for no purpose. Yani, subhanallah, you didn't find except Ramadan to go on a cruise with the brothers for 50 minutes doing nothing. You have 12 months in the year, but subhanallah, how in Ramadan you want to go for a cruise to Allahu A'lam where and just talk about useless things, brothers. Not directed at anyone, wallahi, yani generally speaking, look at the deceit of shaitan, how he deceives you. Yes, you might be not going out, wallah, to the clubs or the pubs or, you know, speaking, doing this with girls and I don't know what. But look how he deceives you in other ways. I'm just going for a cruise. So you go, that's an hour, 2 hours gone, wasted of your Ramadan. Wasted of your time. Driving around for no purpose and crowding the streets and sidewalks so that the months that are meant to be for tahajjud, for dhikr, for worship, for many people becomes the month of sleeping in the day so as to avoid feeling hungry. Wallahi, I heard it from my own, with my own ease overseas, where those who were pretty much addictive smokers and the likes, yani, where they can't get out of bed in Ramadan, wallahi, because if they get out of bed and don't have a cigarette, their mind's gone, that's it. They're gonna explode. I heard it from my own ears, wallahi, that a brother, he would not get out of his bed till a few minutes before adhan. Yani, is a maghrib, yani iftar. Is that what Ramadan's about now? Is that what we're meant to be doing? Wallahi, I don't even want to think about where was his dhuhr prayer? Allahumma, I don't even want to ask, yani. I don't want to ask, did he do it, did he not do it? We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But that's not what Ramadan's about, brothers. So he says, subhanallah, I will just finish off with this, inshallah, thus missing their prayers and the opportunity to pray them in congregation and then spending their nights in entertainment and indulging their desires. Some people even greet the month with feelings of annoyance, thinking only of the pleasures that they'll miss out on. And you see this, some brothers, like when Ramadan comes, it's like, oh no, you know, I've got to stop a bit of work, I've got to cut down on work, I've got to take time off work, I'm going to lose out a bit of money and things like this. Subhanallah, yani. I gotta stop eating in the day. I gotta stop. I can't go to the gym. Come on, brother. Yani, subhanallah, wallahi, very upsetting. He says some people travel to kafir lands to enjoy a holiday. And once again, subhanallah, you had 12 months to go on a holiday with your family. And some people they find only in Ramadan the time for that. Only in the most blessed month in the year that Allah Azza wa Jal chose to be the most blessed month. And that Allah Azza wa Jal loves more than any other month. And then he says something which I'll end with here, brothers, which is so important for everyone who's the head of a household and for all of our sisters, even or in Ramadan, some people travel to kafir lands to enjoy a holiday. Even the mosques are not free from such evils. Even the mosques are not free from such evils as the appearance of women wearing makeup and perfume. And yani, like, I don't want to spend too much time, brothers, but just that point alone I'll end with, as I said. Yani, how many people for our sisters, they come to the masajid to pray tarawih, to pray tahajjud maybe, to I don't know what. And they're coming to do a sunnah action. Alhamdulillah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless them and accept from them. They're coming to perform a sunnah action. Even, you know, for the men, praying Isha, يعني, many ulama, they said it's wajib in jama'ah in the masajid. But we're talking about the sisters now. All the ulama, they agreed it's not wajib for them to come. All the ulama agreed it's not wajib for them to come and pray Isha in the masjid with the imam or tarawih and the likes. So the sister might be coming to do a sunnah. But as she's coming to do a sunnah, she's sitting there committing a minor or a minimum minor or major sin by going outside with makeup on and with perfume that Allahu Akbar can be smelt from meters away. Yani you, my brothers, for those who are heads of the households, those who are fathers, those who are husbands, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. All of you are shepherds, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, "Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatih." And all of you are responsible for their flocks. Our flock is our families, our wives, our children and the likes. When it comes to your sisters, your mothers, maybe you don't have as much authority, but these are your wives, these are your daughters, yani. You are not allowed to permit them to leave the house like this. Subhanallah, yani, wallahi, I hope I did not offend anyone, yani, with what I mentioned, brothers and sisters. But at the end of the day, as I said, wallahi, if it wasn't out of my love for everybody and passion for this religion and for the goodness of myself and for everybody else, I would not have even mentioned some of the things I mentioned. But take this Ramadan seriously. Make it a Ramadan like no other, and ensure that you come out of Ramadan in a better state and way that you came in into it. Wallahu a'la wa a'lam wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Jazakumullah
khairan. Allahumma barik. SubhanAllah, I was going to speak about Ramadan, but there's nothing left. Do you guys mind if I share, like, maybe not a talk, but maybe like a little advice? Yeah? Because mashallah, like, the mashayikh really gave some really good advice about the month of Ramadan. But I'll just share something, wallah, this is sort of just off the cuff, you know, just thoughts that come to my mind. So inshallah we'll start. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. I always like to start with this hadith. You already know where I'm going with it. But the Prophet, he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that none of you will enter paradise until you truly believe, and none of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, shall I tell you something that if you were to do it, if you were to do it, it would increase the love amongst you? So naturally the companions are replied, yes, O Prophet of Allah, tell us. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, give salam to one another. Give salam to one another. Wallah, don't ever underestimate what that does. It cleanses the heart. You might think, but there's nothing in my heart. You know, like always when I make people get up, Sheikh, there's always the hand to me, oh Allah, this guy and his movies, bro. But even that guy, after the, you see when he sits down, he has a big smile on his face, you know, because it cleanses our hearts. And when you put your hand in the hand of your brother, your sins and his sins will continue to fall until one of you pulls his hand away. So inshallah, if I can kindly ask you all to stand up and give salam to someone that you don't know. Wallahi, it's very nice. Give salam to someone you don't know. And if you're an older brother, give salam to one of the younger guys, inshallah. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. All praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send peace and blessings upon his beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my brothers, inshallah, I just want to maybe just share just a few things that come to mind. This is not like a prepared talk, but heck, yani, especially because I see a lot of younger brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. I guess let me say that I'm speaking general. I can't cover every aspect of this topic. I'm generalizing. I know in any subject, there's always specifics and there's always exceptions. So please, don't come to me after and tell me, but brother, I have an exceptional case. We understand, so I'm mentioning this now. I know there's exceptional cases, but what I'm going to say to you now is, I'm generalizing. And what I want to say to you, my brothers, is that in Islam, we know the value of the mother and the father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned their ranks and He's raised them in the Quran and He's ordered the believers to be kind and dutiful. And I'm going to also mention, because I know what's going to happen, to brother, you spoke about the father and what about the mother? Wallah, you can't win. Again, the mother definitely has her rank and Jannah is at the footsteps of your mom. And yes, in the, you know, in the hadith, when the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to my Prophet of Allah, who is most deserving? Who is most deserving of my kind treatment? So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to me, your mother. He says, then who? He says to me, your mother. He says, then who? He says to me, your mother. Three times. He says, and then who? He says, then your father. This is about kind treatment, about showing love. So he, yes, we know the ranks. We know the ranks of the mother. I'm not taking anything away from this. But what I wanted to specifically mention is your father and the value of your father. I'm going to do my best to keep my emotions in check. I will do my best, but no promises. There's the bir al-walidain and the orders of Allah. That's number one. But really what I want to mention to you is, my brothers, no one on this earth, no one on this earth will love you and care for you more than your father. No one. Please, brothers, no one to be recording, inshallah. No one take photos. Please put your phone down. No one on this earth will love you and care for you and have a burn in his heart for you more than your father. Again, don't come to me later with exceptions. And there's always exceptions. There's always, ya Latif, very bad fathers. But I'm speaking general. And it's important that you know that. That your father is the most valuable person in your life. Irrespective of who he is, with all of his flaws and all of his mistakes, he is your father. And yani, I don't know what else to say. Yani, how do I say it in a way where, brother, you know your father? He owns you. And some brothers, sometimes they come to me and they mention, and it's like, you know, I try to be nice to them because I don't want to break their hearts. But really, in my message today, I feel like I can't afford to tippy toe because I don't want the message to be distorted in any way, you know. Let me tell you, you know, as they say in, you know, in Lebanese, بالعربي لم بلطح, brother, let me shoot you straight. You know your father? He owns you. You know what he owns you means? He owns you. He owns your clothes. He owns your shoes. He owns your money. You know your money? If your father, if, I'm not encouraging fathers, I'm just giving you, if your father took every single dollar you own, you have nothing in front of Allah. You have nothing in the Islamic courtroom. You have nothing because he owns you. He owns your wealth. He owns your clothes. He owns everything about you. He owns you. That's your dad. And don't ever think in your life that any man on this earth will ever love you and care for you and want goodness for you more than your father. Impossible. I'll challenge anyone. You know, my young brother, you know your father. Wallah, the cuff. You know, if your father slapped you with all his heart, the cuff from your father is more beloved, is should be more beloved and dearer to you than 1,000 hugs from the boys on the street, from 1,000 hugs from your wife, from 1,000 hugs from your children, because that cuff that comes from your dad, you know exactly where it came from. Whereas those hugs on the streets and those hugs that come from your wife and those hugs that come from the... Wallah, you don't know what price you're going to pay behind those hugs and those smiles. But whereas with your dad, you know exactly that when he whacked me, as much as it hurts, you know it came from the core of his heart for your goodness only. Our fathers are deeply flawed. No one is perfect. Sometimes your understanding of deen is 10 times better than his. But he's your dad and he owns you.
Wallah, the shoe that your father wears, you know, the shoe that he wears, you should put it and wear it on your head like a crown. Not because of the value of the shoe, may Allah raise you all in ranks, but of the value of the one that wears it. It's your dad. And it is unbelievably selfish that a young man comes and says to me, but why can't I do what I want? Wallah, brother, I got news for you. You, my brother, and you, my sister, you didn't fall from the sky. Someone bled and cried and broke their backs to watch you grow and become a young man. You're owed. And you're in debt. So don't come to me now because, mashallah, you know, I'm in my teens and, you know, I've got my own thoughts and, you know, I see things differently to my father, that now there's this, you know, that there's this resistance towards my dad and you know what, wallah, brother, you know, I'm free. People told me I'm free. Brother, who's free? The biggest lie that is running around now is this concept of freedom. That, wallah, brother, I'm free. That I'm free to do what I want. That I'm free to say what I want. That I'm free. Brother, what? I'm going to try and control myself, you know. Where does this come from? Where? Even putting deen aside, who on this earth is free? Every single one of us is governed one way or another. You're governed, you're controlled, you're owned. You didn't fall from the sky, my brother and my sister, right? And now for you to just tell me, well, wallah, brother, you know what? I fell in love with this girl and, you know, I don't understand why my father doesn't like her. And, you know, it's, brother, it's not for your dad to understand. Again, I'm generalizing here. So don't come to me with your, you know, exceptions. My young sister, your dad, whether you like him or not, he talks to you, he engages with you or not. You should only ever marry the person that your father says to you, him, take him. Now start talking to him. Now start texting that guy. Now start falling in love with that person. Don't go fall in love with someone outside of your father's knowledge. And trust me, I'm putting aside the halal and haram factor here. Major haram. But anyway, I'm going to assume that you did it for good. And you know, the songs we sing to each other, right? Don't go falling in love with someone, right, outside of your father's knowledge, and then build an emotional relationship with this person for 3-4 months, and now you've invested in this for 3-4 months to the point where you yourself don't even realize you're head over heels, you see nothing other than him, and now you're trying to find a way, how am I going to present this in front of my dad? And above all, how am I going to convince my dad to accept him? That's oppression. Why? Because you took the rights of your father away from him. Really deep down, you're not asking your dad, can I marry him? What you're really saying to your dad is, look, this is the one. You know, you work on yourself, but really make it happen. Doesn't work like that. Your dad sees what you don't see. Now, I'm not belittling you. Wallah, I'm not. But you have to understand, you know, even for the Arab, they say that the person who's, I forget the expression, but it's something like, you know, the one who's older than me by one day is like, you know, he's like more knowledgeable and has more foresight by like 1 year. Why? Because time, it's experience. When your father looks at a woman for your sake, or he looks at a man for your sake, he knows, my young brother, your dad knows what you're thinking. And trust me, he's thinking that for you too. But he's also thinking about things that you can't see right now. So when he says to you, don't marry her, he knows that you're, wallah, mashallah, you're swept off your feet. But what he can see, you can't. And this is where you have to submit. You have to submit not only to Allah, but if your dad, again, I know, but if your dad is generally an upright, God-fearing man, and he says to you, no, wallah, if the world and everything in it was presented to you, so long as your father is not radiyan, don't you in your life marry her or him. Ever. My young brother, If you're trying to marry a girl, and wallah, I'm speaking to you here, I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible. Brother, if you're speaking to a girl without her father's knowledge, and yeah, I'm going to give you that your intention is good. But as soon as you know, my brother, that her father doesn't want you, and you genuinely tried and he doesn't accept, have some shame, have some dignity, have some sharaf. Leave her and walk away. Because you don't know the hara in the heart, bro. When you watch your daughter grow and you bleed and you cry and you do everything you can so that there's a roof over her head, right? And then she comes and she brings you a guy, Mabtarif Aslu Manan, where he came from, where he started, where he ended. And she comes and she says, but wallah, dad, look, I'm in love. You might as well kill your father. We have to be conscious of ourselves, my young brothers. Life is not fair. Get over it. Life is about ta'a, obedience. Your father owns you. Wallah, your father is the only man on earth. And I can, bro, I'll say this. On the summit of the highest mountain. Because I've been there and I've tested and I got burnt and I got... And I thought at one stage, no one, your father is the only man who genuine wishes and desires that you turn out to be better than him. No one else on earth can ever take that. No sheikh, no alim, no mufti, no friend, no kawi, no one. Only with all his flaws. You see, sometimes when we speak about Birr al-Walidain, we have this rosy idea. Amazing person on earth, and I love her, and she loves me, and everything's amazing. So whenever the idea of loving parents, you see people, they're just so, oh my God. Brother, but that's not, you know, I don't know what to say. That's not the masses. And if you have that, wallah, you are very fortunate. Make shukr and thank Allah Azza wa Jal. But the truth is, for most of us, that's not the case. Most of us were the least favorite sibling, or maybe you're married to the least favorite daughter-in-law, or you're married to the least favorite son. This is the world. That's the truth. I try with my parents, and you know, I feel like no matter how much I give, I'm always at a loss. So people come and it's almost like they present the situation as in, you know, brother, sheikh, and look, can I back off? Can I leave him? That's your deen. That's what Allah chose, that father with all of his mistakes and all of his, that's the crown Allah put on my head. So your relationship with your parents isn't a thing of wallah, you know, but brother, I don't feel like it. Wallahi samihli. Brother, aslan anta minak to tell me what you feel like. If it wasn't for the sarmaya of your father, anta aslan, where are you, bro? Those young brothers, you know, when your mother and your father, and you can see the hara in his eye, bro, you see the, bro, I see father so many times, you know, he reaches a point where he thinks, brother, look, I'm at my wit's ends. Like, what do I do here? Like, do I physically smash my son because he doesn't seem to understand, right? Or do I let him go and watch him burn in front of my eyes? And you don't realize, most of us, this is the ultimatum that we're giving our parents. He can see that woman's going to destroy you. He can see that that man that you're falling in, he can see that's not, and he's watching. He can see that these boys that you're so in love with, that these boys that are taking you to this place and that, he can see it. But I'm trying to talk to my son and he won't understand. So what do I do? If I physically attack my son, not only do I lose him and break him, but even it's actually even against the law. So that's a problem. And if I let him go, it's like a dagger. Every day it just goes slowly and slowly into my heart. And my son thinks he's what? Nuhui, he's on top of it. It's unfair. Wallah, it's unfair. This is oppression. You would rather live with the oppression that your parents put on you than the oppression you put on them. is life. Get over it. I'm not going to sit here and, voila, you know, this is life, akhi. That man that you call your dad, and that woman that you, the shoe that you wear, like that here. Life isn't perfect. The man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic hadith. So he comes to the Prophet, and I love this hadith for multiple reasons. He comes to the Prophet of Allah and he says to him, look, yani I'm paraphrasing, but more or less, he says to my Prophet of Allah, I have family, I get close, they push me away. I do good, they repel bad. I try to connect, they disconnect. Yani really, from the tone, and nothing's changed when people come present their cases, sounds exactly the same. That look, brother, don't think I've come, brother, you don't understand, and I've been doing this for years. So what does he say to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I love this. He says to him, look, if what you say is true, because he hasn't heard both sides of the story yet, look at the justice. Look, he says, if what you say is true, and look, if it's really what you're saying, what, stop? Brother, oh my God, I can't believe you've gone through so much. No, bro. Do you know what? What's that? Is that what she did? Ya Latif, bro. What? We love that hakim. Oof, bro. And I've never heard that in my life. Ya Latif, bro. He says, if what you say is true, then keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. For this is Silat al-Rahim. Do you think Silat al-Rahim is all rosy? It's all, wallah, they invited us to their weddings and we invited them to our weddings and we all love each other and we all get along. It's difficult. It's bitterness. It's harakat. He says to him, keep doing what you're doing and know, if what you're saying is true, that they're digging for themselves their own place in Jahannam. But as far as you're concerned, keep doing what? What you're doing. ادفع بالتي هي, you do better. My young brother, you know, I get it, I understand. You know, you've hit your late teens, you want to hang out, you want to go out, you want to do this, you want to hang out with mates, I get it. But be careful, be very careful. You know, because again, you're not seeing what you're doing. And this kalam and wallah, brother, you know, I'm my own man, that I'm free to do whatever I want. No, I'm sorry, you're not free. You're owed. You are owned and you owe. Yeah, not only are you owned, but you owe. Yeah, you're in debt. And again, it's incredibly selfish that imagine, like you as a father, you plant a seed, right? I'm giving you an analogy here. You plant a seed, and I fertilize that land, and I water and I irrigate the land, and I watch over this seed for 17 years of my life. When the storms came, when the storms went, when the droughts were in, when the droughts were out, I invested 17 years in watching this tree grow, because I know it's going to eventually produce fruit, and that fruit is for me to eat and to enjoy. So now I watch this tree. Imagine you're working for 17 years. And just as this tree reaches the point where it starts to produce fruits, a complete stranger, someone off the street, you don't know who he is, where he's from, who his father is, nothing. He comes to the tree that you planted and takes the fruits that you've been waiting for. Would you accept it? Wallah, I think this is recorded. So I was going to say something, but wallah, I'm worried if I can actually be imprisoned for it. Because, brother, if you think I'm going to watch someone come and eat my fruits in front of my eyes, and my son's going to tell me, and wallah, dad, you know, wallah, look, again, I'm going to keep myself in check, bro. Allah never ever test me, bro. Wallahi. Wallah. You're putting a dagger in your father's heart. You're killing him. that your history, your fruits belong to him. The best of you, the best of your time, the best of your efforts, the best of your money belongs to him. And if he allows, you can give your scraps to your friends. If his sirmay allows it, then go give your friends whatever he doesn't want. Because trust me, young brother, if Allah blesses you, you're going to have a child one day, bro. And you're going to know the value of raising a child. Life isn't fair. Wallah, I was only supposed to give you advice. Oh, my heart. Samhuni, bro, wallah. Please, my brothers, wallah, we need to be very careful, man. Very careful. Your father, what does he? He what? He owns you, bro. You have no idea, and I don't mean this in a bad way, you have no idea how many people in this room saved marriages for years. What, you think you're the only one that's not happy? Do you think you're the only one that's struggling in life? You don't know, my brother. You don't know, wallah. You don't know how many fathers, bro. You know, he what's the expression, you know? Like he ata'a nafsu, bro. He haram nafsu. He deprived himself from luxuries that he's been wanting, yeah? So you can wear those shoes that you love. Why? Because he doesn't want you to feel like you can, you know, that you have to walk around in the streets and that, you know, that wallahi haram holu, bro. He deprived himself. You think money falls from the skies? He deprived himself. Not only did he deprive himself, he deprived himself and made sure that you didn't feel it one bit. So you can enjoy those shoes fully. And then you come and tell me, well, but brother, like, all right, so what if that's what my dad wants? So what? The shoe, so what, brother? And I'd wife flip tables and start throwing chairs. Yeah. Brother, how arrogant can you be? How? What do you mean, so what? So my young brothers, make sure that in your life, you put your father in the right position. Not only for his pleasure, but know that when your father smiles at you, know that Allah Azza wa Jal in the heavens has become pleased with you. Jazakallah khairan, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah khairan.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.